gang, as musicians, we spend a lot of time figuring out songs by ear, but sometimes you need a little help, and that's where Ultimate Guitar comes in. Whether you're a professional or a beginner, Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app for you. For just $2.99, you get the chords and tabs on guitar, bass, or ukulele for over a million songs. You also get tools like a tuner, metronome, chord library, lessons, videos, and more. Just go to ultimateguitar.com or download the app to your phone today and start jamming with Ultimate Guitar. That's right. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great 4th of July holiday. Hope everyone did. Hope you got to spend it by a large body of water, maybe partying with friends or family or doing something. You know what I did on 4th of July, gang? Nothing. Also, I took that vibe into 5th of July. Nothing. I did some reading I've been reading a book for a podcast I've got today, the day that this comes out. And just wanted to make sure I read that whole thing. I laid around reading, watching movies, saw the movie Us. It's a really good movie. It's pretty scary and it's weird. Other than that, I went out Saturday night to Swan Dive and saw Scott Collins play. Great, great band. They're playing in a couple weeks. He's doing his record release. So, get out there and see him. Go to scottcollinsproject.com. That's where you find Scott Collins. All right. What else did I do? Had coffee with a friend. As I said, I did a lot of cooking and tried to eat that fresh food. Did a lot of exercising, but mostly just hung out at the house. I got a gig. I picked up a gig just on Sunday. My friend Darren hit me up. He's like, hey, I'm on this gig on Wednesday at the Long Center where the Alamo Drafthouse shows movies. They're showing, what's that movie? With Chris, Guardians of the Galaxy. I was going to say Masters of the Universe. So they're showing Guardians of the Galaxy, and they're having a band play beforehand at the Long Center. Look that up. Go to Alamo Drafthouse. I'm sure they have that going on there. Anyway, I picked up that gig, so I had to learn a few songs for that. Been learning some songs this weekend, cooking, laying around, doing nothing. But it was good. It was good. I feel like I'm recharged and ready for this week of a lot of stuff. Yeah, week of a lot of stuff, recharged and ready to go. Gang, I have a great show for you guys today. Hector Ward from Hector Ward and the Big Time is here on the show. Their brand new album, their third album, Smile Into Life, is available now. It just dropped at the end of June. 9 songs that will lift you up into a place that you need to be. Man, this band is fantastic. He's a great songwriter. He has an amazing outlook on life. I found out these amazing things about him. One of them was Hector's parents are Cuban. My parents are Cuban. And he ended up living in Houston, in a part of Houston called Sharpstown, where my grandparents live. And there's a lot of Cubans around there. I wonder if I knew his family. I need to figure that out. I need to call my grandma and ask and see what's going on. Anyway, his brand new album, Smile Into Life, is absolutely fantastic. Hector Ward and the Big Time. It was produced by Hector, but it was engineered and mixed by JT Holt. You know, the dude that plays with Kalu and the Electric Joint. Amazing dude. Yeah, man. And anyway, they're out playing shows. You can find them at One-to-One Bar this month at Saxon Pub. In fact, if you live in Houston, they'll be playing Saturday, July 13th at Continental Club. Get out there and find them. Go to hwbigtime.com for all of your Hector Ward and the Big Time needs. Hector and I have a great conversation. He's a great guy with an amazingly positive message. He was an athlete growing up. He ended up being in an accident, which put him in a wheelchair, but that did not stop him from doing anything and also having a tremendously positive outlook on life. He's also in the band Sly Curtis. Yeah, that's his band. I never knew whose band that was. I saw them play a few times. I've seen Hector play over the years, but I don't remember ever sitting down and talking to him. Maybe in a group, we talk about that. Like maybe it was on the porch at Momo's. I don't know. But Hector Ward is a fantastic guy. I'm looking forward to hanging out with him more. I would love to get into his kitchen and have him teach me some great Cuban stuff. Maybe AJ and I should get him on the show. That's actually, you know what? That's a great idea. But for now, enjoy my conversation with the amazingly talented and extremely cool Hector Ward from Hector Ward and the Big Time. Let's get down. So we have something in common. My parents also came from Cuba.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But in like 1959.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. What about yours?
I think it's 58.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When the guys took over.
It was rough times, man. We still have family over there that, you know.
You do?
Poor. My mom and dad, or actually my sister and my mother went over, I guess 3 years ago now. And, you know, you take money on vacation to spend.
Yeah.
Anytime you go somewhere, and they ended up giving the money to my family because it was they're so poor.
Yeah.
You know, it's turning into a, I guess, commercialized because it opened up to the U.S. and, you know, Europe has always been there, but the U.S. money gets in there and it's right there off our coast. You know, not far. And anyway, the people suffer and always have in Cuba. So
yeah.
And you think that, you know, somehow money coming in there would help them, but no, it's just helping.
No, you know, I have family and friends that go there, and they're all like, "Do you want to go?" And I don't blame anyone for going or down anyone for going, but personally, I can't go give money to those dudes that kicked my family out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I just don't feel right about that.
Go there and give your family money, though.
I don't have any family there anymore.
Oh, you
yeah,
don't?
They all came. Okay. Yeah, they were all out of there.
God bless you, man. Yeah,
I'm
glad for you.
Yeah. Cheers. Where did your family go when they came here?
First to Miami, and then.
Did you do any time there?
No, I mean, not me. I was born in Houston.
Okay, good.
74. So my mom met my Cuban father in Houston.
Wow.
And you know, after I guess. You know, they had this Cuban neighborhood. They all
what like, in South
Houston. It's kind of like
Sharpstown. Yeah, my grandparents lived there.
Yeah, me too.
Dude, I wonder.
Yeah, I bet they know each other.
Was your dad a doctor?
No, but okay. But my grandfather used to hang out at Cafe Miami all the time.
Yeah, yeah,
Bissonette
of course.
Gessner.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
El Valero was his name, and
okay.
Yo-Yo, they called him.
Yo-Yo.
And he, you know, my uncle, his brother, they came over in a boat by themselves and got sun-kissed and burned and all messed up, man, and, you know, taken by the tide and, you know, barely made it, you know, but they're here and have stories to tell. And Eugenio, Tio Eugenio, which is my cousin Mark, who helps me with, you know, booking and management and stuff like that, that's his, you know, Eugenio, that's his son and whatnot.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Oh, that's right. Happens to me too.
Anyway, man, he's, you know, in his 90s and still here, and, you know, could probably tell you some stories about the Buena Vista and, you know, just jamming and doing their thing back in the day. So, you know, life's short, and I'm glad that we've got that Cuban heritage running through us, man.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, so does Alex.
Yep, Alex is too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wow, man. So
our good friend Alex Marrero.
And you guys play together in Sly Curtis.
We do. We do. Uh-huh.
That's an incredible band.
It's an idea I had about 25 years ago.
It's your idea?
Uh-huh. And I throw the Black Finger Fiesta de Música.
Yeah.
You know, it's a day party during South by Southwest. It started a decade ago. 2009, and I did it for a day, and it's turned into a 4-day, you know, free party for Austinites at the Dogwood during South by Southwest, the Wednesday through, you know, Saturday of the festival. So, and you know, you can see anyone from, you know, our friends like, you know, Eric Tesmer, Guy Forsythe, you know, Shiny Ribs plays it, Uncle Lucius used to play it, you know, Kevin Galloway plays it. Kerry Hudson and Good Company, just all our friends, man. We all, you know, Heartburn plays it.
And that's the Talking Heads.
Yeah,
those guys are cool.
They're all friends, and you know, Gravel Tooth and Fly Jack and all those cats. We're all friends, and so, you know, all of our friends come and hang out. And you know, when you play music, there's nowhere to during South by like hang out with your friends in one place. So when we decided to throw the party, it was kind of like about that, because all these parties you go to are all commercialized like Christmas during Southwest. You know, it's not about what it used to be like, about the little guy and helping him get a record label, or get him out there. Yeah. It's about partying now. And, which, hey, I'm all good with that. You party, do your things, but I still want to have our music and Austin culture like represented during that, because if you lose that and you lose kind of the weirdness of what we have here, you know, the artistic community is at a loss, I think, just for the simple fact that you don't have so much of the eclecticness that was here. And we need to keep it, man. We need to keep it.
Yeah.
Johnny, we need to keep it.
Yeah, man. we've met before, haven't we? Through the years. Man, I mean, I've seen you play.
Man, we've had to have shaken hands before over the years, or you know, drank a beer, smoked one, who knows?
What probably. Happened.
But who knows? it's a small, big town, my brother. So,
did
you
used to play like at Momo's and stuff?
I was in a band called Sigmund Fraud.
Okay.
And we used to play there, but not often, but I mean, you know, every other month, something like that.
Yeah.
It was kind of a rock and roll, kind of punkish band. We released one record, but, you know, it had a lot of... just all the influences, really, like I do with the Big Time. It's just a, you know, a tent of all types of music, because, you know, when you're on the island, you get all that Afro-Cuban beat, all that, you know, just almost like reggae in a way, too.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we're influenced by, you know, American music as well. Anywhere from, you know, Johnny Cash to the Beastie Boys to Wu-Tang to whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, I play the guitar because of Jimi Hendrix or Lightnin' Hopkins.
Right.
You know, or any of those old bluesmen, kind of like that. So
that stuff is in there. And also, like, the big soul horns and stuff is in there, too.
It's got to be in there, man.
Yeah, and I mean, in your stuff, man, it's like it's alive and kicking it. It's interesting too, because the vibe of like what people have in the islands, like just right into your album cover and the name of it, like Smile Into Life. That's a very uplifting and positive. That's how you do it.
Man, I appreciate that. Yeah. Yes, because I mean, like
and
I said,
the living and life and living, and the video of it too is also. It's, you know, it's like, hey, man.
Well, it's, brother, look, when I was 19 years old, I was playing college football and baseball at the time, and I had a bad car wreck and almost killed myself, me, falling asleep, driving home, and I woke up in a hospital bed and couldn't move my legs, and that was an eye-opener for sure. but I decided after, you know, hate, love of all kinds of things, laying there in a hospital bed, that I was probably going to learn how to play the guitar a little better and write some songs, and moved to Austin, you know, when I was able to do such a thing. And I was in the hospital, man, 6 months, seven
How
months.
How old were you?
I was 19, and I turned 20 four days later in the hospital after it happened to me, October 29th, 1994.
Wow.
And my birthday is November 4th, 1974. Shit. So, yeah, man, like I said, life's short, and, you know, you can either sit back and be depressed or mopey about it, or you can go out and have a good time and be happy, or just like life and living, you know, live your life to the fullest and be you. And that's really what everybody should be, and kind of what I'm trying to not preach, but trying to, you know, help everyone see.
Yeah. It's what your shows are about. It's what your music's about.
Yeah, man. Let's walk in the light together.
Yeah, man. Dude, that's amazing. Because you really, when you're in a situation like that, you can really go either way, you know? I mean, you can turn into a...
Well, like I said, I was. I saw, you know...
But I mean, in the long run, you're going to go through everything at the time. Of course, you're going to be pissed.
And everybody has good and bad days, man. Sure. It doesn't matter who you are. It's just like how you... I've learned over the years, it's more so how I personally react to something in life,
right?
And is usually how it all turns out. You react to something in a negative way, it's most probably going to turn into something negative. If you try to turn something negative into a positive, sometimes it may not taste as good as that. Right, right. Is that flanito or yeah, that flan?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still a little bit of azúcar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did your parents go to like St. Francis? Is that where you guys went to church? Did you guys go to church?
My mom married, divorced my real Cuban father okay. when I was like 3 years old. Okay. And then she married a Texas rancher. That's where I get this accent from.
Yeah, yeah.
The Cuban, I can speak fluent Spanish, but I sound like a country boy. It's funny. And so, you know, I grew up 50 miles southwest of Houston on this ranch. It's been in my family and on the Ward side of the family since 1901. And in fourth grade, they my stepdad adopted me and changed my name to Ward. And, you know, so there we go. And so people always ask me, how are you Cuban with your last name Ward?
No, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a long story there. Yeah. So anyway, here we are, and we're alive and living.
So were you living on a ranch?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, where?
It's about 50 miles southwest of Houston. Do you know where there's this Brazos Bend State Park with all the alligators?
I think so.
It's close to there, about 10 miles from there. Okay. And it's in between the Bernard and Brazos River.
Yeah, yeah, I do. Yeah.
My mother taught high school in like Needville, Texas, and I went to high school in West Columbia, Texas. So it's all, you know.
So you were an athlete.
I was. Mm-hmm.
Yo, when, what did you play?
Baseball, football. I played basketball until I was a junior in high school.
So it's like Friday Night Lights level, sort of like small town, but like.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. I noticed that a couple years ago when I'm in this band Skyrocket, and we played the opening of this stadium in Pflugerville.
Oh, cool.
It was a high school football stadium, but it was like, I mean.
Big deal.
But it was like a, I mean, it was a multi-million dollar, mm-hmm. What would you call that kind of place? Yeah. But
stadium?
Well, not just a stadium, but like a sport, event place.
Oh, like
yeah,
sport complex. Sport complex,
that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, like the people there don't have the kind of money. You know what I mean? You're like, come on, man. It is funny. So do you guys, what position did you play?
In football, I play like tight end, defensive end, outside linebacker. And mostly in baseball, I played outfield and third base. And I was a closer. I pitched.
Okay. So,
yeah. The Cubano, man. You
yeah,
know,
baby.
That pelota.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to play some baseball, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, totally.
But I played in a small college up,
yeah.
up in Wichita Falls, Midwestern State, and saw crazy bands like Billy Goat. And
yeah.
And this Air Force base was kind of like close to there, Shepherd Air Force Base. So, I mean, what do pilots and sailors or anyone like to do when they get drunk in, you know, small...
They like 200,000 rock and roll.
200,000 people town. They like some rock and roll.
Yeah.
And then they like to have fun.
Yeah. Totally.
So
who else did you see up there like that?
Man, that Mike Dillon would used to come through there a lot.
Yeah.
You know, with
he was just here
with the Nola Tet?
No, with Chuck E's in love. What's that?
Oh,
Ricky Lee Jones.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was just here with Ricky Lee Jones.
He was, yeah.
Saw that.
Yeah, Mike D. Good
yeah.
people.
Do you, when did you start playing? You started playing guitar when you were in high school or like younger?
When I was a teenager. And I was not very good at all. And just because by ear, just
right.
picked it up. And because I like the blues and I was listening, I might be able to pluck that. And,
how did you find the blues when you were a teenager?
My father had an awesome record collection. And
okay,
so did my
cool.
mother. They added to it. And I mean, that's really, you know, I'd go there and I'd listen anywhere from Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys to, you know, Celia Cruz on vinyl.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And then, you know, I remember my mother dancing around with me, you know, listening to Van Morrison, you know, when I was, you know, a baby. You know, Domino was one of those.
Yeah.
one of those tunes.
That's funny, man, because that came through in your music.
Oh, well,
like,
cool.
That vibe of that song is in your... is in like the DNA of your music.
Well, cool. Yeah. I like it, man. It's a wrinkle in the brain.
Yeah,
a wrinkle in time. I guess.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Is she still around, your mom?
Oh yeah, she just retired from Lourdes Mercedes. Just retired from Needville High School and taught for 45 years of her life, and she's doing her thing now, man. And she's. Just retired, so, you know, this is her first, it's the summer, she said, so she doesn't, you know, She doesn't know if it's going to, you know, what it's going to feel like because she's used to going back. Because summer. She's used not to working in the summer anyway. So she said when it's time for everybody to go back to school, she'll start to feel like, oh, well, what am I doing? Or, you know, anyway, it's just good to see her have some time for herself, man. She's worked so hard her whole life and, you know, suffered Castro and all that and, you know, made something of herself in life and took care of us, raised, you know, three children and... God bless her. I love her.
You got younger siblings?
I got a younger brother and a younger sister.
Okay. 10 years. How do they all do? They all go see Hector Ward in the big time when they can?
For sure. Yeah. My sister, my brother has three boys, so they when he can, you know, and they all play Little League and All-Stars and all that stuff. And then my sister lives here in Austin, and she just had a little boy about a year and a half ago, little Charlie. And yeah, man, so... Family's good, everything's good, life's good, and we're life and living and smiling into it and all that, you know.
Well, let's talk smile into life, man. So you did this, you produced this record, but JT Holt, the amazing, what an amazing talent, that guy.
He plays in Sly Curtis with us too, he's a good friend. And
You can't tell whose fucking band that is when you're watching it, you know what I mean? Everybody up there is like a famous dude. You know what I mean?
Something like that. Yeah,
it's like an all-star. I thought it was Bruce's band.
It's an all-star group, man. Yeah. No, man. I mean, it is all of our bands, but it was my idea, but to do something like that, and I came up with it, and man, I just wanted to do it because I can sing the falsetto and I can sing the, you know, the Sly parts. So it's like I wanted to just do it, and Pearl. You know, it's such amazing. A Pearl Z, man. She is so amazing. And
That's a Jimmy's.
Yeah, Jimmy. Yeah.
When I moved here for a little while in 1984 with my mom. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy was like a part of our daily routine over at Whole Foods on 12th and Lamar.
Yeah, man.
He's part of the thing. So full of love.
I think he and his friends were... the only, what's Jimmy's last name?
I can't remember.
Turner.
Jimmy Turner?
Yeah. He and his, Pearl's father, Pearl Z's father, was, I guess, one of five black actors that won an Emmy, and they were all deaf.
Wow.
So that's amazing. A pretty cool fact. Check it out.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
So that is a cool band.
I think it's an Emmy.
Yeah. So, there's people, you guys don't just do, it's not like a greatest, it's, the greatest hits are there, but there's also songs like, oh, shit, whoa, right on. I can't think of any off that, I mean, it's making the hair on my arm stand up. There was one,
like, we do Loose Booty.
Yeah.
Like, that's one that's not normally, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Yeah. And then, you know, we do, you know, man, we do Underdog.
Here's get over a little bit more on that mic. I don't want to.
We do, you know, we do Give Me Your Love. We do, you know, Future Shock.
Do you guys rehearse?
We only rehearse. I mean, in the beginning, we probably rehearsed for like 3 months, maybe every other week or, you know, a couple of weeks in a row. Yeah. And now we've got such an extensive song list that we just been doing it for, you know, 3.5 years now. And, man, we should show up Sunday or, you know, Friday or whenever we can, the weekend before the show, and you know, hit it, and it seems to work out pretty good.
It really does, man. I mean, everybody knows their parts. It feels really good. And there is like an organic looseness to it that doesn't go off the rails in any way, but there is like a...
You gotta be
jamming.
You got to have that, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. All right, so let's talk. So JT and you recorded this. Where did you guys record it?
At JT's place.
Okay.
Yeah. Nest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great place.
Yeah, man. It's an awesome. Great room. It's JT's house. So
yeah. Yeah. Have he and Kalu been doing stuff there?
Yeah, man. They just, you know, released that album about a year ago, I guess now, and then they've been working on some other stuff and. You know, Brett Orson, Space Flight, and I've got you know, Blackfinger Records that I started to along with the festival to, you know, release this album, and then all of a sudden when I did that, 1989 records came in, and after we'd, you know, basically paid all the production and recording costs and whatnot, and really helped out in the end, man. And it's kind of like, you know, half-ass record deal. Great, you know, great thing came in and paid for all our vinyl to get produced.
That's awesome.
All of our CDs get produced, you know, replicated and made. And yeah, product. They got the product out there. And, you know, that cost just as that much money as anything else, brother. Yeah. So, you know, you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean, man. Have you ever used a publicist before?
Yes, each time? We've released a record, I've used a publicist. We've got Juice on board right now, working hard for us, and love Heather and
Madison, Tyler,
all them, good guys they're over doing good stuff for us. Yeah,
I worked with them on my last EP last year. And one thing it says, this is an EP. Is 9 songs an EP?
I think it should be an LP, but
maybe I did that. Yeah, because I have EP question mark. Maybe I was reading something else and it said EP. Anyway, so 9 songs. You had a lot of great guests on there: Carrie Hudson, yep, Hunter St. Marie,
my soul sister, and my soul brother. Family pretty much. Yeah, Carrie's been jamming with me, man, since college. So I'm talking about 2001.
Like, shit, really?
You know, long time, yeah.
That's awesome.
She was in a band called Blue Funk Junction, and she came here and has been doing that Carrie Hudson thing.
Yeah,
rocking it out forever.
You know what's cool about her? There's like a traditional sort of show business personality that she has. Like, she can throw down, like, she's ready at any, like, if you need, like, dance, like, it's like, fuck yeah, dude. Where? You know what I mean? Like, she is like,
she's like a light switch.
Yeah, man, she's got the energy that you need.
She's awesome.
To be an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she literally has that.
She's got it. She's got it.
In spades. And the voice of like a, like one of those voices where you're like, no, come on. Seriously?
It's
you're
like,
going to do that?
It's like Gloria Gaynor and Aretha Franklin together. Anyway, that's all I'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, and John's Beast played on there.
Yeah, man, and we just had a lot of guests. I took an approach to it almost like a Steely Dan record. You know, you bring in the best guys, and I left my ego at the door, which you should anytime you're playing music, and let the musicians play. You know, I'm a guitar player. JT is a guitar player. Hunter St. Marie, Jorge Castillo, all great guitar players.
Yeah.
And, you know, I let everybody play a lead, and we listened back to them, and not necessarily mine was the best, or work for the song at the time, for sure, man. You know how it is in the studio. So, we picked the best, sounded the best, that worked the best, and tried to make the best album we possibly could, you know, in an analog way in a digital world.
Yeah. Did you tell me about you, when you say you did analog, you did it on tape?
That board is,
oh, right,
is just analog, and a lot of the, you know, was run through, some of it was run through tape. But it's just, the room and the warmth, you can hear the warmth on the record, man.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of good, good glow to it.
Yeah. You have Mark Wilson on there. I love that dude, man.
Me and Mark Wilson were in business together for about 9 years.
Oh, that was you at the Cuban Texan?
Running the Texas Cuban, yeah.
Dude, I didn't realize you were the Cuban. Oh, you know what? We have met.
I'm the Texas Cuban.
We have met.
All right.
And we met on that.
I gave you free Lone Star, yeah.
No.
Every Saturday I get free Lone Star.
No, but you know what? I don't think it was you, but one day I was like, I ordered you guys had the best fucking mariquitas.
Uh-huh.
And my aunt, my grandma, like, I'm talking about, like, serious. Because my cousin Emily used to own that store Feline, uh-huh, down the road by Black Sheep.
Yeah, yeah.
For a little while. So there was always, like, a run to the to the Texas Cuban. It's Cuban? What? The Texas Cuban.
Yeah, Texas Cuban is what it was. I woke up one morning and I was like, man, I play music. This is running me ragged and down, and I don't like hiring and firing people. So, you know, if one day somebody wants to, like, have me or you as the Cuban namesake and sell that sandwich in a beer garden or somewhere and give us money, yeah, I'm down for that. But I'm not going to be the one making those sandwiches.
No, it's a tough one. They're great sandwiches, man.
Dude, I'd roast 500 pounds, smoke 500 pounds of pork tenderloin every Monday. Wow. It's like, and by you know, the ninth year of doing it, it was like time to make the donuts.
Yeah, your mariquitas are probably there. I'm pretty sure, and I've said this on this show to people before, the best mariquitas I think I've ever had.
Well, awesome, man. That's, yeah. Thank Lourdes.
Yeah, I will thank Lourdes.
Those black beans were her recipe, the pork, the lechon, all that, man. The croquetas, everything's my family recipes. So it got rough, man. It got, you know, the trailer business in Austin should only be open like 7 months a year. And the rest of the time you should just be closed because of the summer, like heat, the rain or the cold. And you know, Texans don't like to go out when it's super hot or super cold.
No, they don't.
There's got to be the in-between.
It's true.
So, yeah, man.
What made you, what attracted you to that? Like the food, and that's your heritage, and you felt like...
I mean, the heritage, just I couldn't find a good Cuban sandwich in Austin.
That's true, man.
So I decided to make one, and my lady at the time really was... you know, a great cheerleader, and you know, we decided to go for it, man. So there it is.
That's killer. I was just eating breakfast at a place there the other day and told Graham Weber, you know him from Western Youth.
Oh yeah.
I was like, they used to be the best trailer right there. It was just like last week. Yeah, man. I love
still
that
nothing
place.
There.
Nothing there.
Like they tried to put a Hey Cupcake there. They tried to put a few things there, and it just wouldn't live. But the simple fact is, Odd Duck, Gordo's, and myself were the first three trailers on South Lamar. So
right
there it is.
Yeah, you were trailering
before there was
TV shows about it, before there was reality shows about it.
That's why, honestly, I think we were successful because we were in before that like happened.
Right,
and then when the boom hit, you know, it was one on every, you know, little lot on every corner, and I mean, you couldn't like, I mean. It's cool to have, but also you better diversify and also have really good food and have a niche because it's hard, man. The food industry is my father always jokes. He's like, son, you picked the food industry and the music industry to make a living in. He goes, that's funny. And he goes, you were successful in both. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Dad. I'm like, you know, thanks for not stepping on my toe.
You know what's funny? I'll be talking to my aunt or something. I'll be like, man, I need to find like something that brings in a little bit more dough and you don't have to work as hard. My aunt's like, oh, you know, she could write a book. I'm like, dude, it's fucking way worse.
I can
go busk out on the street, you know what I mean, and make like 50 bucks if I need it. But like my friends that write books are fucking professors. They're teachers.
Yeah, my next door neighbor, he's like treats me like a son. Harold Eggers was on the road with Town's End's aunt for like 25, 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And he just wrote a book about he and Town's on the road. It's called My Years with Town's Music, Rage, and Genius.
Oh, wow.
And it's about all kinds of stories about them on the road, man. He introduced me to Bob Johnston back in 2008. And Bob Johnston produced... You know, Johnny Cash, Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, Aretha Franklin.
He lives here in town?
Well, he lived in Nashville for a long time, then in Cali, but he and his wife, Joy. But Bob basically is the one who told Johnny Cash to go San Quentin and in the Folsom do those live records. And I was talking to him, like, look, I want you to listen to this record, and I want you to, you know, check it out and see what you think. And he goes, it's fucking great, but you need to record like two or three more years worth of that shit and then pick the best ones.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he said, right? And I'm like, oh, all right, cool, man. So I listened to him and, you know, we smoked on the bong and talked about it a little bit. And then I'd let him over the course, he'd be back in town and, you know, we'd always bullshit and talk and hang out and And he was always helping me, and over the years, he'd be like, that one, or that one.
Yeah.
And tell me which song, like, off the album he'd like, and then we ended up over, you know, 4 years with 22 tracks he pointed at and went, hey, I like that one. So that's how the Live at the Saxon Pub happened, and, you know, we picked those tunes, got them mastered after picking through, like 297, like, tracks of just live, you know, shows that, you know, oh, yeah. And we picked, you know, some of the shows we, you know, at the end of the night, nah, man, let's just not keep that one.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or, or, you know, we had technical difficulties, or, you know, you just know that, that, and then there's some of them like, man, it's like the Allman Brothers live at the Fillmore.
Yeah.
They captured magic, man.
Yeah.
Like, how did you know that was going to be so magical? How did, you know, those kind of things are like live in Monterey Pop Festival with Jimi Hendrix. I mean, that's just like, you know, Hey Joe, that's one of the best renditions of Hey Joe I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
So this kind of thing, you don't know when the magic's going to happen.
No.
So somebody should be capturing it.
Did they play multiple nights at the Fillmore and record it? Or was it just...
I don't know, honestly.
The only reference I'm going to make is going to sound so stupid compared to that one, because I was going to say, because, you know, on Kiss Alive, I think they recorded a couple of nights and then went back in and redid some vocals and stuff.
Right on.
But that live at the Fillmore, that's just guys playing. There's no fixing the...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you hear feedback in the mic, and, you know, that's the beauty of it sometimes, is like the rawness and the... You know, the love, the music, it's felt. If you feel it, man, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
For sure.
So when did you move here?
Like I said, pretty much in 95, as soon as I could, like, I healed up, and that, like, next year I was in Austin.
What were you doing?
Just going to college. I went to ACC, and...
were you studying?
Just the basics at ACC, stuff. And then I went to Southwest Texas, Texas State.
Right.
Shows my age a little bit. But they changed the name to Texas State my senior year when I was there. So
I wrote this.
I have a PR degree from there.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I wrote this song for that.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah, I can't remember how it goes. But yeah, I did.
Right on.
Yeah. And we recorded it out there at that firehouse place.
No, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you got a PR degree?
PR, advertising, and then a minor in Spanish, of course. It was easy.
Yeah. You know, Spanish for me was easy. Like, when I lived here, I was like, oh, I'll take Spanish, like, one. But when you go to, like, Miami, which my mom died, and I went to Miami, like, I was a junior, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll take Spanish again. They're like, yo, well, you have to take a test. And so I ended up in, like, a Spanish class that was, like, an English class, where you had to, like, read a book and, like, write about, like, it wasn't, like, el perro está durmiendo.
No.
¿A dónde está la casa de Dicky?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It wasn't that at all.
I had to take, like,
it was like Cervantes.
Poetry classes and, you know, upper level, like, Sor Juana, you know, the nun who wrote, you know, all this poetry and, you know.
I didn't get to that lady.
Just a bunch of things that were cool.
Yeah.
But it was school.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's so cool because then you end up, like, in touch in some way. And you've stayed in touch, I think, with your roots.
Man, I try to.
I do, not musically, but, you know.
It doesn't matter. It's there.
Yeah. I unbutton my shirt real low.
Hilarious.
So you went to school, you got the degree. Did you ever work in PR marketing?
Yeah, man. When I got out of school, I co-founded a nonprofit, and it was the Texas Senior Olympic Games.
Oh.
Which was the Senior Games Austin is what it was, but it turned into the Texas Senior Olympic Games because we ran it so well and did a good job, and I coined the phrase for people 50 or better.
Oh, nice.
Not older.
No, I just turned 50, so
better.
I'm going to start using that. Yeah, 50 or better.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Yeah, sorry.
And it was about 32 sporting events all over the Austin area and Central Texas. We had the Jamail Swim Center. I did a public service announcement with Daryl Royal, and he hit a golf ball because he loved golf, and he played in our golf tournament. And he hit a golf ball on Daryl Royal Field through the uprights as a field goal.
Oh, awesome.
As part of my my commercial, my public service announcement, to have Texans come play in the Texas Senior Olympics. And, man, we had people come in from all over the United States and the world. We had people come in from all over the world. But it was funny because I came up with the slogan, also 50 or better, but also Coach Royal was saying, I told him, our slogan is still got game.
Yeah.
And he was like, have you still got game?
That's awesome.
It was pretty awesome,
man. What made you venture into doing that?
Well,
that's like an odd thing to come out of college and be like.
Check it out, man. I got a PR director job
with
a firm that was working with seniors.
Okay.
And I was doing the advertising, marketing, and the public relations for them. And, I mean, I was an ex-athlete, and my boss at the time, you know, who co-founded the nonprofit with me, John Burlett, he basically was a huge sports fan and wanted to keep basically a way to keep elderly folk or people who are aging healthier and fit, because he was, you know, doing financial planning for, you know, older folks, and he wanted them to live longer, make more money and all that with, and it was a great idea. And so we got involved with the, you know, National Senior Olympics and then the Texas Senior Olympics, and we got all these, you know, great ex-athletes involved and all kinds of cool stuff. Man, we did it for almost 6 years, and then you know, we had a board of directors that you know, all things, you know, rise and fall, and it was a great time, and it was a great organization, and we did good things for people. So
during that time, were you playing?
Oh, I've always been playing.
Like going out and playing shows?
Oh, yeah. The whole time I've been playing music.
Where were you playing?
Man, I mean, Hole in the Wall, Saxon Pub. I mean, my Saxon Pub's been my home for a good 17 years.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You know what I did the other night there? I played after Bob.
At midnight?
At 10:30 on a Monday. After Bob Schneider,
that's like the worst slot
in ever, the city of Austin, Texas.
That's where they make you start.
I know that was the thing that was like, no, it was my friend AJ Vallejo was like, oh, I'm gonna do a songwriter round. It's gonna be real cool, and I was like, sure, man. I mean, what more am I gonna say? No, like, you know, I mean, sure, it's gonna be fun.
And
it was fun, but
there wasn't anyone there.
It was a few. It's always so freaky to watch that people just leave. You're trying to set up as fast as you can. Like, hang on, dude, grab one more drink. So you started out playing at Saxon Pub. And
I mean, really, I owe my roots to CJ Caheen of Darwin's Pub on 6th Street.
Oh, yeah.
And he let me play there, and we just jam there every week, man. And then, you know, of course, you know, it's kind of like graduation.
Yeah.
You move from 6th Street and you try to play the clubs that are, you know, where people pay to see music. Not just walk in and, you know, see free music on 6th Street. You know,
right.
And that's kind of what happens. You know, you play for tips. But, I mean, that's where, I mean, everybody starts somewhere, man. And
yeah. That's what Greg and Destiny have kept going at Wonder One.
Greg and Destiny.
It's a fair door. When you play there, there's no weird,
And see, the thing is small, you know, music venues like that, like the Greg and Destiny Ware own, like One to One, like Joe Abels at the Saxon Pub, you know, like Steve at the Continental Club, or Sea Boys, all of these places, you know, we need to support them, or, you know, they will go out of business.
I feel weird because those are the places that I hang out.
Yeah, you should. And we should have more people hanging out there and, you know, just... What I think we should try to, as musicians in Austin, try to support other bands, because like what you're saying, whenever a crowd in this town comes to go see a show, they're great. They support the act they're going to come see, but then they don't stay for the next act. Like in New Orleans or in New York or L.A., you got people hanging out ready to see the next act. Mm-hmm. And I think...
Or coming early,
yeah, or staying late. Or, you know, whatever the case, man, we need to keep the music community out and supporting the next act or the next band. Because, I mean, it's all about, you know, if I didn't play in front of someone or, you know, like Bob Schneider back in the day, then those other two, three or four fans, five fans that you grow over the years, you wouldn't have. So you got to look at it in a growth kind of perspective too, man, because this city is just a musical haven, and it's saturated, and you know, you got to get your name out there. You got to get yourself, your music out there. And, you know, however you can, do it, man. Yeah. And we, like I said, we need to support each other.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. I feel like I do. Now I'm feeling all guilty for some reason. I'm like, no, wait, I have this show. I have people on all the time. I work with the Austin Music Foundation. But no, I know exactly what you mean. And I think one of the things that happens to guys that no, it's all right, man. That's what that's for. I put my ass on there. and by that, I just mean my piano bench. For those of you listening at home, you don't even know what he was talking about. I think one thing that gets lost with people from my generation, the generation before mine, and then the one after mine, like whatever class you're in, you know, they forget a lot of times that there's always new people coming in. Like there's always a hose in the pool and it's always on. Oh, there's always new bands coming in and there's always kick-ass bands coming in.
Yeah. And then the thing is it also be encouraged, because I mean, the digital age just kind of discouraged people from making music because it just gets taken from you. So, I think we all need, you know, to support each other, and, you know, our government needs to, they're working on it. Make us, you know, able to be paid like it used to be for our art, you know, and because it's not easy to make art, and
it costs a lot of money.
It needs to be out there to, you know, people want to make art. They want to get their stuff out there, and you know, a lot of musicians these days are making singles because making a record costs way too much money. And then
that's what I made an EP, like making. I wanted to do it in a studio with the guys, and you know,
yeah,
a guy that knows how to run a board, not like someone's bedroom, not here, like a studio dedicated to recording music.
Man, you got a nice place. What are you talking about, Johnny?
Come on. I know, but every once in a while, you want to go to a place where a guy has a Neve board and like, microphone's more expensive than all of your equipment put together.
Oh yeah.
What I was gonna say about community is your record is like a. It's a testament to your, like, if your record was a tree, all the bands that, I mean, just with Spies alone and JT, like, you know, think of all the bands, those guys, and Mark, you know, Wilson and Carrie and, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's got a lot of lineage, Austin history in it, for sure.
Yeah, and it's got a lot, it branches out into a lot of different areas. Like, you're a member of your community.
Well, thank you. I try.
Sly Curtis is like that too. It's a bunch of people from all these different bands.
You're gonna love this. I started another super group.
Oh, good.
Like Sly Curtis. It's called the Honeysuckle Sage Riders, and we're doing all old pre-1980s country.
Oh, nice.
Grand Ole Opry stuff. Barbara Nesbitt.
Oh yeah.
Myself, Guy Forsythe and Jessica Forsythe.
Yeah.
And Hayden Viterra on the violin. My drummer from the big time, Mike McGurk, and
that guy's great.
Mark Epstein on the stand-up bass.
Nice.
So it's going to be another one of those. Hunter playing lead guitar on it as well. I'm playing guitar on it. Anyway, it's another one of those groups, and it's going to be fun and awesome, and one of those residency kind of things. It'll be last Mondays before Sly Curtis at 1-to-1.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can leave your stuff there
to the next day. Yeah. It's like. We could do that.
I used to leave my stuff at Steamboat because I used to have this Marshall half stack.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to literally, like, I would play games.
David Cotton let you do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was okay with that. I haven't seen him in a while. Where's he at? The Roost closed, and then he kind of... There was that place on 6th Street that he had for...
What's the spot on Congress? It's a real small, nice dive. It's got like maybe 25, 30 people you could fit into the little stage.
Oh, the Townsend.
That's it. He books the Townsend.
He does?
Yep.
All right. You know, I'm the first guy that ever played.
Oh.
On that stage.
It's a nice little place.
Yeah.
Not very big.
Nope.
Kind of like in this living room.
It's a great place. I did a lot of live podcasts there. It's a great place to do that. It's a great room for like stand-up comedy, solo acoustic. It's a tough band room. I played in there with a full band and like, I'm sorry. Did you ever see Buick McCain in the 90s, that rock band Alejandro Escovedo had?
At the Continental Club, I think I saw it. Maybe you're at Stubbs.
They played at like the front room of the hole in the wall. Like, they're Marshall half stacks. And it was like, remember those Maxell ads where the guy's hair was flying back. From the set. That's what it was like when I was in there. I was like, I can't even hear anything.
Whenever you say that, I think of a tape.
Yeah.
Sitting in the in the Lazy Boy,
yeah,
just getting blown away. Yeah.
yeah, that's what it was like being in that room.
I'm gonna make you a tape.
Yeah. Do you make what do you listen to? Like, who do you go see now? Like, who are the bands you go see? Is there anyone you're excited about now?
I mean, I like the Black Pumas, man. They're good.
Shit, yeah.
Why
is everything that Adrian does so great?
He's good, man. They're
starting to make me angry.
You know, I really like that new Run the Jewels album, and then they're making another one with, not from here, but, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Rick Rubin's producing their next record.
Awesome.
Guy Forsyth and Jessica just released a record called The Conspirators. It's pretty good, man.
I didn't hear that.
You had to check that out. Eric Tesmer just released a record.
Oh, his record's incredible.
Badass.
Incredible.
That brother, rock that shit. There you go, man. And then, I mean, Carrie, they released a record not long ago too. So, you know, there's music being made in this town, and it's going to keep being made.
Yeah. 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 And there is like an Austin, there is a thread of Austin that goes through a lot of the sound of all those bands that you mentioned.
Yeah, man.
Interesting, isn't it? What is it? Because it's not just, it's not blues.
It's soul, funk, hip hop. I don't know how to describe it. And I mean.
You think it's because we came up playing for, did you used to do those gigs where you used to play for fucking hours?
Yeah.
I always think about that. Like, it must have been like the 90s or early 2000s. There were people that, like Eric, that had some Sixth Street gig where you have to play like
slave labor.
Yeah, it's like Hamburg when the Beatles went there. Like, oh yeah, you play from noon until 3 a.m. Go.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But that, I mean, look, that's how you cut your teeth. That's how you get good. That's how you can go play a rock star set for 2.5 hours and then walk off the stage and be like, hey, thank you.
It can incur some bad. Did you at that point, you said you don't drink like you used to?
No, I sure don't, man, and I'm glad.
Yeah, of course.
Don't, so.
Sometimes those gigs can be conducive to that sort of behavior.
Yeah, they can.
Those long ones.
Because you've got to power through it.
I'm sure it didn't help Eric, like, you know, before Eric got sober, I'm sure. I mean, we've talked about it on here a lot.
Sure.
But I'm sure that it didn't help him, those long-ass gigs.
No, I mean,
people buying you shots.
Dude, everyone knows that herb is healing. So,
yeah.
I mean, and that's what. Most musicians should just smoke weed like Willie and just be all right. But, you know, the world is turning and hopefully things change.
Yeah. I played in L.A. a week ago today and I went to a dispensary for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
You enjoyed yourself?
Yeah, it was very overwhelming. There was I didn't expect the guys to be as armed. And I went in downtown L.A., so I'm sure, and it's all cash business.
Freeze!
No one yelled at me or anything, but it was just the intensity. I was like, oh, shit, I didn't expect guys in, like, SWAT uniforms.
Oh, man, yeah, that was I was in Vegas in February, and I went to one, and, dude, yeah, it was a little, I was like, hey, what's going on here?
Were you playing in Vegas?
No, I just went to hang out, man. My sister and I got my mother a Christmas present, and she'd never been, so we took her to see George Strait, her favorite, and I didn't go see George Strait because the wheelchair accessibility wasn't happening for me, so.
Well, that sucks.
I went, well, no, dude, yeah. It was great because I went to the Venetians and saw ZZ Top, so it's not a big deal.
Oh, nice.
It was much better.
Are you friends with Flanagan?
No.
He played Montreux Rock Festival with them last night. Not only did he play keyboards... Wow. But he played. There's
only pictures. Reason I connected is Van Wilkes.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So
yeah, Van. Mm-hmm. But he's playing guitar. He played guitar with ZZ Top last night.
Sweet.
How cool is that?
It's super cool.
I like Van Wilkes a lot, man. That guy's a class act.
Dude, Van is a good friend.
Yeah.
Good people. Badass guitar player. Just that's what's Austin about, man. Austin's got a lot of great musicians in it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all a family. We're all connected somehow.
That's the
way
I see
it. Like you said,
too.
That family tree.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I was at this All ATX show. I was really drunk.
We did that one.
You did?
The British Invasion.
Was that the one that was at Auditorium Shores?
No, I was at the Moody Theater with the zombies and the animals.
Right.
Christopher Cross. And it was cool, man. It was super rad.
I was at that one that was on Auditorium Shores, and I remember towards the end, I was just like, I was talking to somebody, I can't even remember who it was, but I was like, yeah, it's just like a weird, every time I come to one of these things, it's like you get there and you're like, oh yeah, I'm part of this fucking family. There's my weird uncle, John D. Graham. You know what I mean? There's Heather, even Heather. You know what I mean? Now Heather's like some weird, like, stepsister of mine somewhere that knows Beyonce. She's my stepsister that knows Beyonce.
That's some funny stuff, dude. Yeah, no, exactly. It's a small big town. Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Like I said, we got to support each other, brother. Support each other.
We do. And you know what? To my Houston and Dallas listeners, you're going to be in Houston on July 13th at the Continental Club.
We're going to be in the 713 on 713, baby.
Oh, shit. That's right. Damn. That's my apartment. That's my apartment number. I'm going to have to take that out. August 24th, you'll be at the Sundown at the Granada in Dallas.
That's right. Yeah, man. Trying to get this CD out there around Texas a little bit. We're trying to, you know, put some shows together. We just booked a show at the Del Diamond in October.
Oh, fantastic.
For the Chalk Walk in Round Rock.
Maybe Altuve will still be there.
Altuve. No, Altuve's been pulled up, man.
Already?
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was there just like a couple weeks ago.
He's in the majors now.
Damn good.
Oh, yeah. He's better. I'm from Houston, man. I love me some Stros, some Rockets, some Texans. Go!
So, did you get to go to any of the games, when they were after the hurricane?
In the World Series? Yeah. Or
before the World Series?
That year, I did go see some games. I go see baseball every year, so I'll see a game or two or three.
Yeah.
Every year, go drive in and take my nephews or, you know, hang out with some friends and do that. It's always good. Like I said, life's short, man. Take advantage of it. Do what you can while you can.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good that you're Houston. I like it. I played in Houston a lot. Like, I lived there like 1988 to 91, and I played there like at Fitzgerald's a lot.
Oh, yeah. It's tearing down right now.
It's gone.
It's
yeah.
It's been torn down. It sucks.
Sad, right?
Sad, yeah.
You're also in the Saxon Pub movie, which is good. Mm-hmm. I have not seen it.
Man, you need to check it out. It's truly, we can be as biased as we want because I'm in the movie and so are other people, and it's about our town.
Yeah.
But, man, it's... It just really talks about, you know, how Austin's grown so much over the years and how a lot of our venues have died and how, you know, we need to save them, like basically support live music. And, you know, the only way we're going to do that is, you know, have our music community come together and, you know, be one and help one another. And that's kind of like what it needs to happen. It's just really needs to happen.
To me, there needs to be, because there's so many people that have moved here that didn't grow up going to Auditorium Shores for the Wednesday concerts, you know, in the summer. No, or like
that's why
going to Armadillo Christmas Bazaar.
What are they going to turn our Auditorium Shores into?
Oh no, are they turning it into?
No,
something?
I'm joking.
Oh good,
dude.
God,
anyway,
just freaked
I'm just
me out.
Joking, but anyway.
But no,
they built everything else. They tore down the. They tore down, they're tearing down Threadgills. They're going to tear down, you know, that they tore down that Hooters right there that's been there for, what, 30, 40 years?
Yeah.
You know, and anyway, it's all getting changed.
Yeah. It bugs you.
I mean, look, progress, change is inevitable, but how it happens and who it happens with, you got to keep the soul of the city, man. And that's really what I'm really
like the progress
jabbing
is
at.
So that's what I'm thinking is like maybe if they had a couple more things like because whenever I go to that, what's it called, Blues on the Green. Whenever I go to Blues on the Green, you'd think that Austin is the like not that it's not, but you're like shit, man. Everyone's here. If there were a couple more things like that throughout the year to sort of show people like you can see shiny ribs. With 20,000 people at this outdoor thing, you can also go see them, you know, here or wherever it is that they're going to play, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Or like a Tesmer or like Jackie Benson. You can also see them at Antone's.
Yep.
You can, you know, see them at 1-to-1.
Well, that's what it's all about, man. It's it's about you can see these acts because we play the places, and you know we got to make a living, and everybody's got to support each other. And
right, but people are moving here. They don't get what it actually is. They see the sign, and then they open the book in their hotel. It has a couple pictures of cool dudes jamming somewhere, but they don't get like, oh no, this is generational. There's like dudes taught me. Van Wilkes taught me shit that I now teach other dudes that are coming up and ladies. You know what I mean? Like, this is way more than that. Like, we have fucking health insurance. Like, we have, like, pirate health insurance for musicians and stuff. And, like, there's a lot of really... Yeah, there's a lot of infrastructure here that the people that obviously came before us, all of us, like, I mean, I work with the Austin Music Foundation, and I feel like I took a lot from this music scene. A lot. Like, friendship, guidance, collaboration. Oh, you gotta go?
Probably, I've got another thing at like...
No problem, man. Five. We got to wrap this up anyway. I could talk to you all day.
5:30, yeah.
Let's stay in touch.
For sure, bro.
And do all this stuff. Yeah. Hector Ward and The Big Time are going to be playing. You do... I saw there was also a July show at 1-1.
Mm-hmm. We played last Fridays at 1-1 of the month.
Okay.
It's kind of a residency.
Last Friday? Mm-hmm. Okay, so the last Friday of July. Go to hwbigtime.com. Is there anything I'm missing real fast?
No, brother. Thank you for your
time. The record's great.
Much love to you.
Yeah, dude. Much love to you. This is a great hanging out.
Yeah, thank you.
Un hermano cubano.
Hey, qué bueno.
Yeah. Yes. My Cuban soul brother, Hector Ward from Hector Ward and the Big Time. Their third album, Smile Into Life, just dropped a couple of weeks ago. You can find it wherever it is that you stream and download your jams. Gang, if you live in Houston, you can find them this Saturday, July 13th at the Continental Club. They're in Houston. Yeah, baby, I'll miss playing that place, man. Hey, Hector, if you're listening to this, say hi to Mo.
Say hi to Big Dave if he's still working the door.
That's a good imitation of Big Dave, right? All right, hey, man. Hector, man, what a great conversation. Great conversation, man. Go to Hector Ward in the Big Time. This album, Smile Into Life, is fantastic. I'm looking forward to having him back on the show, man. We didn't get enough. We got cut short. He had to go and do another thing at another place with another guy. On microphones, probably. Anyway, gang, while you're out there checking out hwbigtime.com, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast, wherever it is that you find the podcasts. If you use Spotify, we're on there. If you use Apple Podcasts, we're on there. If you're on Stitcher, we're on there. We're wherever you stream your podcast. You get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. Gang, I got a great show coming on Friday. I don't like to say it very much, but there's a great show. I haven't done the interview yet. Doing it today, the day that this comes out. And, once it gets done, I'll talk about it, but I'm pretty excited. Pretty excited, gang. Hector Ward and the Big Time, man. Check them out. Their album, Smile Into Life, available now. Go to hwbigtime.com. Here is the rest of this beautiful song, Life and Living. You can see the video for it at hwbigtime.com. Do it up. Thank you to Hector for coming on the show. Great conversation, gang. Let's get down.